Hey guys, Jen Rudo-Smith here of the High Rollers Club. I'm here with Umberto Garcia. We have a great topic for you today. We are going to talk about Facebook ads, right? This is something that most photographers struggle with. I know I've struggled with it in the past. Umberto is really good at doing them. So tell us a little bit about how you got started with Facebook ads and why you think they're so powerful.
Yeah. Hey, so it's funny how I actually got started was I was actually a photographer. And, you know, just like anything else, it was just kind of like happenstance, right? Like, I really love photography. I love portraits. I loved like doing weddings. And I was shooting a lot of everything. And, I was at that phase where I was like just getting really good at, you know, the tippy tops of a bunch of different genres. And what I realized was I had to be able to market it. So I was, you know, jumping into Facebook ads, Google ads, a lot of internet marketing. And what I started realizing was like people in my town, I was living like a little military town. They were like, how are you getting those results? Like you just started photography 3 months ago and you're getting like high paying clients and having these IPS sessions. And I was like, yeah, doesn't everyone do this? And they were kind of like, no, can you teach us how to do it? So I was like helping a lot of people one-on-one and I wasn't doing anything special. I was just showing them what I did. And then, you know, when I moved to Miami, there's even more photographers here. So I was doing it more and more. So people weren't very interested in like photo walks. They weren't interested in like photography or editing or anything like that. They were mostly interested in like SEO, Facebook ads, Google ads. And I just started realizing I'm really good at that and really passionate about it and I can help people do it. So yeah.
I love that. Because it's a really tricky thing for most photographers. And I remember I've tried Facebook ads by myself in the past, and then I would go for like weeks and they wouldn't get approved. And I would never be able to figure out why. So what's the biggest mistake that you think photographers make whenever they're doing Facebook ads?
Yeah, I think that comes, like, there's a few factors, right? Yeah. One of the biggest factors is just sometimes people start ads too early. In their journey, right? Maybe they're not like an exactly established business. They probably shouldn't have, right? You can almost imagine, right? Like Someone's just starting in like boudoir or weddings and they go by this whole expo booth and maybe their work isn't good enough or it's not good enough to advertise. But for the most part, most people I talk to are past that stage. But that is a huge portion of people is just getting into paid advertising before they're ready.
Right.
The second thing is they're not consistent, right? So like, imagine, I always say marketing is a trade of money. It should be a money printing machine. So if you put $100 in and you get back $500, it's amazing. You would never stop doing that, right? Like me and you would never stop trading that money. But a lot of times when it comes to like advertising ourselves, like we spend $10 and then we don't see a return instantly or like a booking. So we just turn it off.
Right.
And I don't know if someone's going to get a booking within the first $50, the first $100, first $200. But you can't, that people just turn it off too early. And then the other thing is a lot of times it's not like congruent, right? So they'll like set some sort of path and they'll say, you know, I want to book this, but it'll just kind of be like a flash thing. You don't really have a following. They don't have an email list and they're just going out to the world. And it's kind of that old adage, right? Like they're going out and asking a bunch of people to marry them. And they're saying, can you please marry me and buy my stuff? You have no idea who I am or why I'm qualified or whatever. You don't know my story. But please buy from me on the first time I meet you. And you can imagine it's probably not going to go very well in dating or love life. And it's not going to go very well with Facebook ads either.
Right. So have you found that there's a specific genre that is the most successful with Facebook ads?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I always say that, Facebook ads are amazingly powerful. It is tied with Instagram. It has a job, right? Like it's great for retargeting. It's great for like your brand awareness to retarget and maybe show testimonials and so on. But having said that, I'll tell you the ones it works the worst with, right?
Yeah.
Now, sometimes there have been people that have success with like giveaways and free model calls and stuff, but the ones it works the worst with is like weddings, engagement sessions, newborns, maternity. And it's because people are constrained by like a life event, right? So like, it's very specific to life events. The same way like an emergency plumber might not do well with like, hire me on Facebook. I'm an amazing emergency plumber. Like a lot of times people don't need you at that time.
Right.
So Google and SEO tends to do well with those, like Google ads. The funny thing about me getting into Facebook ads is I used to do Facebook ads for all those people, right? So we would still do well with them because we had a balance of Google ads. But I was doing them for like glamour photographers, Sue Bryce, you know, photographers, branding. I was doing it for everyone. And then I think one of our photographers was doing boudoir.
Yeah.
And you can imagine, like, we have all these accounts and we're doing well. Like, we're getting people inquiries, they're making tens of thousands of dollars, and we're on top of the world. And I had a meeting with my team. There was like 13 of us that worked like in my house. So I literally got my house just for my team.
Yeah.
And I remember like we were having a team meeting. I was like, guys, like, what do you guys think we can improve? And one of the girls, she was like just being blunt. She was like, you need to stop taking any photographer that's not boudoir. I was like, why? They're like, it's just so easy. It's 10 times faster. It's more interesting. And it's not boring like families. How many times do we have to say, cherish your family moments? I don't want to write those anymore. And she was onto something because it was really, really easy. We started like from that one boudoir photographer, we started getting more and we started realizing like we were able to like spin things up and like get them running and like get them bookings immediately. I mean, people see when they join the High Rollers, like, you know, within weeks, it's just so much more interesting. We actually had a glamour photographer that she spoke to me and ended up joining the High Rollers. And by the way, for people that don't know, it's our mastermind.
Yeah.
Where we teach all this, but she's a glamour photographer, very talented, like, you know, one of the top boudoir glamour photographers, I would say. And her friend were considering joining, and they were just saying, like, you know, things are dead for them lately. And they said it's so much easier, and it's crazy that it's easier to bring people into the studio and take off their clothes than it is to get them in these, like, fancy gowns.
Yeah.
And them not even having, like, done boudoir, just kind of, like, teasing their audience with boudoir. Like, one of the girls got, like, 13 bookings. And she was like, holy crap, like, there's something to this, right? Like, the offer is extremely strong. So yeah. I think for boudoir, it just so happens to be the easiest. It's the most fun. So I would definitely say for that. And it's not to say that it doesn't work for, like, you know, very talented composite and family photographers. It works very well for branding photographers.
Yeah.
It's just... some of those need a boost with like the messaging and with like the offer, right? Like, cause you can imagine like seeing like family photos, cherish your lifetime.
Right.
So boring. Everyone just scrolls past it. So you just need something special to it.
Right. So you mentioned something a little bit ago about retargeting. And I think that that's something that a lot of photographers maybe don't know about or are confused about. So talk to me about that. What exactly is retargeting and how do we do it?
So I'm actually going to share my screen so it's easier. So what I tend to find is that, you know, I actually saw a study and what it said was something like they represented a bunch of trade show and expo like booths and stuff, right? So like imagine you'd go to an expo and they would basically do all the follow-up. Well, right. They were smart and they wanted to find out like were people buying or like what affected it? And what they found was that out of all the people that inquired for any certain product, 50% bought within 2 years. And that wasn't bought from that company. That was just bought from someone. So if they were interested in a knife set, if they were interested in, you know, appliances, they were basically calling back every 3 months and just trying to find out, you know, where the person was.
Right.
So having said that, like a lot of people just stop. So this is most people's marketing campaigns is like, they kind of get traffic. They're everywhere, social media, Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff. And of course, if they have good work, they can get some traction. They're getting some website visits. They're getting people email lists in their group. They're going to get some sort of, you know, interaction.
Yeah.
But the problem is that they're not like keeping up. And you do this really well because, I mean, I do your marketing. So you have like 50 or 60 emails in a follow-up series.
Yeah.
And I tell all of my clients, like, we want to have something like over those 2 years, every year we want to have 400 touches. Like, we just want to have 400 times where people see us. Because what happens is, like, if you give them the idea, but then you never follow up or they never hear from you again, like, then that was a lot of work just to have somebody else get that business.
It's true. So
the retargeting here happens where, like, imagine... you know, instead you're getting consistent inquiries, you know, you have social media, you have all these different traffic sources. And then once they connect with you somewhere, you can imagine retargeting. And it's funny because the best way I can draw this out is basically that like a cloud forms around your business. And this cloud is basically saying like, you know what, anytime somebody inquires or like touches my website, inquires with me, I want them to just see my retargeting ads. Those are the ads that kind of follow them around and like hover and say like, hey, you know, this is what people were saying. And it's just hovering around and it adds to the touches and it's so cheap. Like you might be paying, I don't know, maybe like less half a penny for someone to like get retargeted with a video. And it just hovers over them and it's just that aura and bubble. So like if they're on your email list, great. They're going to get 60 emails over the year. If they're in your Facebook group, they're going to get hundreds of posts and see all these people connecting. But then when they get retargeting ads, you're going to be in their stories and they, you know, and it's more appropriate, right? Like it's less invasive. So it's just kind of like another touch point you get to put on people. And to answer your question, the way you do it, it's actually fairly easy. Facebook, and I'm actually gonna bring up your ad account. Facebook actually has a pixel, and all you really have to do is go in here, and it's so easy because it lets you basically, you know, take it and put it on your website. And what it'll do is it'll basically, you know, track people and follow them, and you can create specific audiences. And most people, like, it's completely free, and almost no one does this. Almost every time we do like a website check, I have this special tool that, you know, if I go to like your website, I'll come in here and I have this little pixel tracker. It's called the Facebook Pixel Helper. So if someone's using Chrome, they can install it and it'll show me, does this person have a pixel? And if I don't see that they have this pixel, I know that they're not retargeting. I know that they're probably struggling with Facebook ads or they're not running Facebook ads.
Right. Yeah. You know, and for the people that are watching it that maybe need an even like, yeah, I guess more an example that might apply more to something that's non-photography related. So I love to shop, right? And so a retargeting ad is like, and a good example would be like if I went to a shoe website and looked up a pair of shoes and then like 2 minutes later, it's in my Facebook feed. That's an example of like the Facebook pixel, right?
Is that? Yeah, it could also be Google Analytics and Google Ads retargeting, and there are some other places, but they all work on like the same concept. And if you come into like the events manager and if people are watching, and by the way, I'll put a link onto like the documentation on how to do this. But if you hit setup, there's a bunch of different ways to do it. You can watch YouTube videos. It's super easy. If someone does nothing else after this, they just have to install this because your ads will never work and you'll never be able to create audiences. And this is super important. Right. Well, you just take this and put this in the header of your website. And then, you know, it's that thing that basically follows people around and says, you know what, like, did you forget to check out? Did you forget to do this? And we can do it for so many different places. So we can it's almost based on their behavior. So if someone comes to your website and doesn't, you know, hit the contact button, by the way, this is your beautiful website designed by Vivian.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. I love it.
So if someone doesn't submit the contact, we'll follow them around and like basically based on the behavior, we'll say, look, you forgot to submit your contact info. So we'll try to get that.
Right.
Maybe, you know, they went and they actually did this, but they didn't schedule a consult on your scheduler. Then we'll say, you know what, please follow people around that didn't visit our scheduler thank you page. Right. And we'll just kind of keep following them around and we keep moving them in our pipeline. Like, with the appropriate next step, right? Because a lot of times it just turns into a cloud of marketing and, hey, I'm here, I'm good, I'm amazing, book me. But no one really knows what to do, right? Like they don't know how it works. They don't know what the next step is. And you're not like nurturing them past those first couple days.
Yeah. I mean, it's really hard to book cold leads. And that's like the biggest mistake I think that we see photographers make is they get really upset when cold leads aren't booking. And we're like, well, it's really hard to book cold leads. So you have to warm them up through these, you know, touch points and through these multiple touches that you're talking about.
Yeah. And one of the modules I teach, it's called the BDA model for consults. It's before, during, and after. Everyone is so focused on like, what do I say to close someone? And it's like, look, it's amazing. We'll give you a script for that. But like, what if there's a lot you can do before? So when they get on the phone, they talk like you. When they get on the phone, they say things from your sales process and they describe things in your terms, how you do. Like they already know how you work. Like they're sold before they get on. And a lot of times people that start with Facebook ads, like sometimes like established businesses that only run off word of mouth, they're so used to only working off word of mouth that they're only talking to people in this hot zone. Right. So what happens is like, they'll turn their ads on and they'll get all these inquiries and then they'll complain and say, oh my God, Umberto, like these leads suck. They just want to know pricing. Right. And I always say like, that's the only reasonable thing anyone could ever ask, right? Imagine you know nothing about, I don't know, you know nothing about guns or something.
Yeah.
And you go in and you're like, yeah, how much does this cost?
Yeah.
Well, imagine if the guy was like, I'm so offended you asked me the price without asking me about the metal and the craftsmanship. You're like, dude, I have no idea how this works. That's the only question I have.
Right, right.
So we always tell photographers, like, look, you know, there's going to be a bigger bridge to gap, right? Either the consult's going to do it, and great. If you're an amazing person on the phone, great. It's going to be easy for you. And even if you are or not, if you can cheat by like warming people up through your email sequence, through your Facebook group, through your remarketing ads, then why not take that leg up? Because they're so used to talking to people that know their cousin, know their friend's friend that shot. Those people are easy. They're booked before. Absolutely. But the people that heard about you like a week ago that are like, are you even a real person on the internet? Like, how do I trust you? That are looking at your reviews, just looking for bad things. And it's not wrong. We're consumers. Like, that's what we do when we look up what album to buy, you know, what camera. Like, you look at reviews and you ask a lot of questions. So, you know, one of the biggest things is, you're right, like that cold traffic, getting them into an email list and properly, you know, bringing them on board with what our culture is and what your message is, that's greatly going to help. And sometimes when people have, like, for you, probably it's a lot easier for you to do phone consults.
Yeah.
Right. So like you're just setting yourself up to get people to treat you, and they almost act like they're referrals or like they're warm.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. I think after you've been doing this a while too, most people that book me now know at least one other person that shot with me. So they might be, you know, kind of a warm lead, but they know at least one other person, you know, because when you shooting begets more shooting, right? You know, clients beget more clients. So it's the more you do it, I think the more it happens. But I did have another question for you, and this is something that I've been wondering myself. So the future of Facebook ads, do you think that eventually we'll be able to target people right in our VIP groups if you have one?
I don't worry about that. I basically worry about like what's available here. I think Facebook's trying to make a play to like make money through groups, so they might. But having said that, because of the way we market and because of the content, the way remarketing works is like, as long as people interact with the ways we're able to retarget, like whether they're on our email list. By the way, there's a way to upload an email list to the remarketing ads. And like, no kidding, all you have to do is like go into the audiences.
Yeah.
And what you'll do is you're able to create custom audiences. And some of them are like based on, you know, did the person interact with my Instagram? Did the person, you know, look at my video? Did the person, I can even upload a customer list. Is the person on the CSV file? Are they on my website? Mm-hmm. So that is a lot of options, right? So like technically for you, you put questions on your Facebook group, like what's your email, right? Like that's one way to retarget them. Right. Another way is like maybe a lot of the times you can share stuff from your page into your group, right? Now they're interacting. That's a retargeting.
Right.
You could also send them to your website with blogs. So like all this content, you're almost already doing it. I'd be very surprised if like most people that are active either in your email list or your group aren't going to be retargeted somehow, just because they're completely enveloped with everything, right? And the more retargeting there is, again, with that cloud of retargeting, like, it's very hard for them to leave. And if they don't want to interact and they don't want to click your emails and they don't want to look at your group and look at them, then perfect. You don't want to retarget them anyways, because they've basically said to themselves, I'm not interested. And the other thing is you can set time frames for this. So you can set 30-day time frames. You know, you can set, let's just say based on like a website, you can set up to 180 days, right? Wow. And it'll tell you when you go in there, maximum time for this window is 180. Personally, we don't do like 180, because if someone's that far gone, we're not really trying to, you know, but yeah, I don't think that it really matters, because we kind of already overcome it and we don't see it as an obstacle, because the content structure we have and the way we retarget, people are always going to stay in our funnel basically.
Yeah. I think that, so this has been so interesting. Do you have any last minute, like the best piece of advice that you could give to someone that has no experience with Facebook ads, but really wants to get started? Is there one piece of advice that might help them?
I think the biggest thing, and it's kind of like what we teach in the mastermind, is like, just have everything set up before you launch your ads. And what I mean by that is like, I don't want you to like create all this beautiful artwork, but then you don't have a way to collect their emails. You don't have a way to like follow up with them. You don't have a phone consult script. So you're just, you know, messing up all the consults.
Yeah.
On top of that, like maybe you don't have a website that's showing your work in the best scenario, right? So like, and then you're getting all this traffic and then you're like not showing the best side of yourself.
Right, right.
So that would be for like beginners. And again, I typically don't work with beginners, right? Like this is meant to be for like, hey, professionals, people with good work, hopefully are past that. It's kind of how the High Rollers is, right?
Yeah.
But as far as like for the professional that like is already getting clients, is already has a pretty website and they're already like rolling. I would say the biggest thing is make sure that, and we kind of have this in my company, everyone kind of knows to do this, but here are like the biggest points. I would say one of the biggest things we do is we always, always, always layer our ads. So that means we're always looking to get new people and we're always trying to remarket to people. So we don't just put out like brand new ads, hey, get people to know us. We're always retargeting. So like we always have layered ads. The other thing we do, and depending on the level of someone uses, is using campaign budget optimization. And that's basically letting Facebook bid on the audiences. We did a test with you where when you booked like those 100+ sessions and you have all those people in your group.
Right.
Half of the ad spend was done with no targeting. And I did that just to prove that the targeting isn't as important as the message. One thing people don't realize is like, if we come into one of the ads and here's an example, like what's something you're interested in? Like what's something like a hobby of yours or something that you buy? It could be your business, anything.
For me?
Yeah.
Oh, well, what's something I'm interested in? I like to read.
What kind of books? Is there anything specific?
I actually really like dystopian society novels.
Okay. So imagine I made an ad and I was trying to get people for a new author of mine.
Yeah.
And I didn't put any targeting because I have no idea what kind of my target is.
Right.
Facebook is so intelligent that if I write a headline that says like, or if I say like, hey, are you a reader? Do you like these kind of books? And I use all these keywords. Who do you think Facebook is going to send those words to, right? Or those ads? It's going to send it to people that have interacted with other ads or other websites that have those keywords as well. Right. So when you write your ads properly and you use the right images, Facebook is really good at targeting. So I strongly suggest, you know, just using the power of Facebook and how good it is, and using campaign budget optimization, which they've just recently announced. So some people might be like, oh, I should go check it. It's at the campaign level. The other thing is talking about audiences. We always do 6 audiences as far as like, you know, what we test and what we run things to minimum. And we always do 6 different ads. So that's at a minimum that way. And, you know, for people watching, I always suggest if you're going to do that, this is from like the month of August. You can see you're paying like $1.76 for a result. That's unworldly. I tell photographers, if you're doing $15 to $25 for like straight up conversion traffic to like a homepage, like a landing page, you're doing well. But you can see how many different audiences we have and then how many different ads we have. And we just test, you know, different images, different headlines. And I also suggest like top tip, do at least one video, just one video and just see how the video does. Sometimes it doesn't get you the same level of conversions. Like it might not be dollar conversions, but a $3 video conversion might be worth more because that person is going to have more remembrance when you call them. They're going to have more connection with you. So it's not always about getting the cheapest leads. It's about getting the most bookings at the end of the day.
Yeah. It's so impressive to see all of those ads running because no joke, when I tried to do them by myself, I couldn't even get one ad to go. Not one. I didn't know what I was doing, but...
Yeah. And the funny thing is that like we have done this so much and over and over and over again, and specifically for boudoir, almost all of our clients are boudoir now, by the way. And we teach only boudoir basically, or at least, you know, portraits. And that's another thing people ask, like, does this work for portraits? This is exactly what we do for branding. It's exactly what we do for glamour, exactly what we do for even for family, like minis and like family sessions, as long as they're unique and have good work, this works.
Yeah.
But we always, you know, the biggest thing is just add as many images. And when you create your first ad, you can create as many images. It'll walk you through. Like nowadays, Facebook's gotten a lot better where like when you create something, it'll like tell you how it looks. It'll display it. I would just tell people like go in there, play around with it. Maybe don't publish it and spend money, but like just get familiar with it.
Yeah.
And the difference between us making one ad and making these six was literally just pushing five extra buttons to add images because it automatically does it for us. So it's super easy. And within the mastermind, like, there are people that are so daunted that are like, oh my God, like, literally they look at this as like the worst project ever. And they're just like, I don't even know how I'm ever going to do that. And we just give them all the templates. We literally show them, they literally copy everything we do. And then from there, we tell them, look, once you get the basics, then you can go be creative and do more. And people right. come back and say, we did that. But then I saw that in my brand, I can add this kind of video and I got these results. And then we just keep improving from that. So, but the whole point is you've got to start and preferably start with some sort of template or, you know, inspiration or right. some sort of idea and map it out. We always, obviously we do this so much that we have it mapped out of what the customer journey is. They're going to see this blog. They're going to see this ad, then right. this video, then they're going to be in our group. Then they're going to see these emails. So it all really goes together.
Right. That makes sense. This has been so helpful. I hope that, you know, this really clears some things up for people that are struggling with Facebook ads. Any parting words for everyone watching?
Yeah. By the way, if anyone wants, obviously there is a video version of this. So you're watching the listening, we'll put a link to the YouTube video. Yeah. The other thing is we'll put some resources in, how we've set some, I've even have diagrams people can download. They can join our Facebook group. I always suggest, you know, join our Facebook group, get to know us, introduce yourself to me and Jen. We look forward to meeting everybody and yeah. let me know if you implement. Sometimes I'll have people that'll message me and be like, dude, I just went and did this one thing and now I'm like booked up. And I'm like, dude, that's the whole point. Like, it's all about taking action. You can't just listen to all this stuff and then just, you know, pontificate for the next 4 years and then not do anything.
Definitely. And the business is out there. I think that too often in the industry, there's such like this scarcity mentality where people just think that the business isn't there, but it absolutely is there. You just have to put out the right bait, right? So.
I would say, yeah, like you can create your own business, yeah. right? Like that's what the most successful people do is not only like, supply the demand, but also like create more demand.
Yeah.
And people, even in small towns, like they start realizing that like, wow, if I can get my message out, if I can get this out and show people what I'm about, then I'm going to be able to just create business, create consultations, create bookings, and obviously sales sessions. And by the way, for anyone, I know every time I look at a Facebook ad and I see someone comment, there's always someone that's like, but you're getting low quality and everything's so cheap. And these people probably don't pay your prices. Jen has a super high average of 4,000 plus. A lot
it's
of our students
4,000 now, by the way. It's $4,011, yeah. which I'm super pumped about.
People in the high rollers don't even post about their sales unless they're over 3,000, right? Yeah. Like, we're not talking like cheap little rinky dinky set. We're talking like formidable clients, people that respect our work and that are able to pay higher prices.
Absolutely. And you know, people value the experience more when you provide these multiple touch points and automations. Yeah, absolutely. And we know that it's able to be replicated because our students are doing it one after another after another. So.
Yeah, that's one thing, right? Like I've had people say, maybe people don't say it to my face, but they'll be like, oh, why would anyone work with Umberto if he's not a photographer? And it's like, okay, number one, I was. Number two, I'm not just doing this in like Kansas City, Wichita, or I don't even know, Wichita. Yeah. And like, it worked for me one time. And then we literally run this 24/7. My whole team does this. All of our students do this and it's duplicatable. Right. And like, it's not just, hey, we guessed it. Hopefully it works for you because we did it once. Like, this is all we do. We eat, sleep and breathe, spending ad money, tracking it. And when I say spending ad money, because that's another thing people are worried about is like, how much do I have to spend? We're investing to make back more, right? So the idea is I put $200 in, I get hopefully like $4,000 back.
Right.
Like,
right. And especially if you're charging appropriately, if you get one client and like my average sale is $4,000. So if I book one or two clients, that is, $8,000 coming in, So
yeah, that could be someone's advertising budget for the whole year, right? But absolutely. A lot of times, like I said, people stop early. Even the mastermind, I think I had somebody, I think they booked a couple people and they spent like 200 and they're just like, I'm too busy. I have turned them off. I'm like, no, don't ever turn off. Like that's your money printing machine. Even if you book out in the future, even if you have more people to talk to, more awareness, like don't turn off your money printing machine.
Yeah, no. And I think also the other thing you have to remember is like when you book these people, you know, if you do a good job and you have, you know, if you produce a quality product, they're going to tell their friends and you're opening up an entire new referral stream. But the ads, that's the powerful thing about the ads is you're reaching people that are potentially outside of the circle you're currently in. And then you're breaking into new circles too. So.
Yeah, that's true. And again, it's just a force multiplier. So if your business is healthy, you're good, you have good business processes and you add ads to it, it's just going to explode.
Yeah.
But like I said, if you're not, if you're disorganized, if you don't follow up, if you don't like to talk on the phone and you're not confident and your work's like, it's just going to really make you really realize like these people are really cold. So they don't know you. They have no interest in like talking. So if you fumble that, it can be really discouraging. So I always suggest, look, get your stuff correct. Get your processes right before you start adding those steroids to it.
I love that. Thank you so much for talking with us today. I think that this was so helpful. If you guys have any questions, make sure you hop into our group on Facebook, the High Rollers Club. And that's about it. Have a great day, guys.